You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Have you ever dropped into a couple people having a conversation halfway through it? You're not really quite sure what's going on. That's kind of what happens when you pick up in the middle of a scripture. So let's get caught up to where we are in the story at this point. We're in the book of Matthew, and we're early in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus has been all over Galilee preaching, and a great crowd is now following him. Jesus sees the multitudes, goes up into the mountains, followed by his disciples, and begins to preach. The Sermon on the Mount. Okay, we're all caught up. Sermon on the Mount contains some of the most quoted scriptures of the Bible. Its teachings are considered to be the key elements of Christian ethics and a recipe for the conduct of the followers of Jesus. St. Augustine, in his 5th century book, Our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, began with the following words. If anyone will piously and soberly consider the sermon which our Lord Jesus spoke on the Mount, as we read it in the Gospel according to Matthew, I think that he will find in it, so far as regards the highest morals, a perfect standard of the Christian life. Many interpreters of these verses contrast the new teachings of Jesus with the old teachings of Judaism. Jesus discusses 6 widely debated topics found in Jewish text: murder and anger, adultery, divorce, oaths, and in our verses, retaliation and enemy love. Jesus continues throughout the verse to use the lines, you have heard it said, followed by, but I say to you. This is where the idea of contradicting ideas comes from. It should be noted, however, that the Greek word for but is the same used for and yet. The author of Matthew is trying to explain to his mostly Jewish audience that Jesus is not here to change the law, but to fulfill it. We are to keep God's will, but interpret it correctly. Jesus starts our verse by quoting the old eye for an eye rule. This rule is still used today as justification for retaliation, but that was never its intended purpose. This rule dates back to ancient Mesopotamian law, and its purpose was to limit the response of wrongdoing to a proportionate punishment. In other words, if somebody takes your eye, you can't take both of his. You just get to take one. Jesus rejects the idea of retaliation by giving the example, if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. This shows the peaceful and nonviolent nature of Jesus. This line is often used as a basis for pacifism. Next, Jesus tells us, if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. This may seem a little odd, but in these times, much of the getting even was done in court. If a person with very little, like many of Jesus' followers, was sued, a possible outcome could literally be having to give up their coat, the only thing they had with any value. Again, Jesus rejects the idea of resisting this cruel practice and instead tells his followers to take the path of generosity. Jesus continues this idea of generosity in the face of injustice by next instructing his followers, If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. This line comes from a common Roman military practice of this time. Before the days of tanks and Humvees, Roman soldiers carried all their gear with them. They were allowed to order civilians to carry their gear up to 1 mile. Jesus wraps up our scripture by instructing us to love our enemies. Jesus explains that anyone can love those who love them. Jesus calls us to be different than everyone else by also loving our enemies, for us to be perfect, therefore, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Beautiful words, aren't they? But if you're like me, you might be thinking right now, easier said than done. I've always looked up to strong, brave men. Men who stood up to injustice and fought for the weak. I loved when I was a kid hearing stories from both my grandfathers about fighting in World War II, how they bravely fought evil to protect the weak. I admired hearing my dad, as peaceful as he is, telling stories of defending his mother and sister's good name, even if it meant throwing a punch or two. I guess it's no surprise that in the seventh grade, I started a fight with the school bully in middle school. He picked on all of us, and somebody had to stand up to him. In high school, on the hockey team, I followed the unwritten rule that no cheap shot goes unanswered. Seems fair, right? Going to college with both of my sisters, there were a few occasions when I had to have a little talk with a young man that may have said something nasty about one of them or upset them. But never a violent person. It just seemed like there were times when fighting back or standing up to injustice was right. This is the idea, I guess, that led me to my current profession in law enforcement. I saw so much evil and injustice in the world that I jumped at the opportunity to fight back. I immersed myself in the profession. I wanted to be the best. I trained hard to be strong, to be fast. I practiced martial arts, defensive tactics, firearms. I read books on criminal mindset, human behavior, and the physiology of combat situations. I learned that under stress, people generally do one of two things, fight or flight. I knew that if I was going to stand up to injustice, there was only one option, fight. All the flight had to be trained out. I love my job. I love having the opportunity to protect and serve my community. But recently I've been thinking a lot about it. Maybe it's just because I'm getting older, or maybe it's the Holy Spirit. But I keep asking myself, does this look like Jesus? I really like Jesus. No, I know. We all love Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the Son of God. I mean, I like this Jesus, the man in the story. I think I would have liked to have been around him. You see, Jesus is clever, a little bit sarcastic, kind of has a rough edge. And he always has something just under the surface in his message. A little spiritual imagination, a little holy mischief. Jesus doesn't believe in fight or flight. Jesus shows us a third way. When Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek, he isn't only talking about pacifism. Jesus is talking about the disarming power of enemy love. See, in Jewish culture, a person could only hit with their right hand. Like many cultures have an eating hand or a wiping hand, it just was custom. In order to strike the right cheek with the right hand, a backhand strike would be necessary. This type of strike was not used to harm an individual, but to degrade or humiliate. It was a strike intended for an inferior. By turning the other cheek, the assaulter now is forced to look the person in the eye, and he has to decide whether to strike with a fist, like an equal, or to back down. You see, we aren't striking back, but we aren't backing down either. In the next scenario, Jesus says to give your cloak as well. Jesus is not just talking about generosity in the face of injustice here. Think about it. When you give your cloak too, you are standing there, butt naked, in court. Jewish culture saw nudity as taboo, but the shame fell less on the naked person and more on the one who viewed or caused the nakedness. This act exposes the absurd greed of the debtor, as well as the guy who gave away his cloak. When Jesus calls us to go the second mile, He's not just talking about being extra helpful. Roman military code specified that the civilian was required to walk 1 mile. 2 miles would be an infraction of that code. Jesus calls us not to resist our so-called enemies, but to spend time with them, to befriend them, to woo them into our movement with love. That is, if they're willing to break their military code to do so. This third way of Jesus is neither submission nor assault. It's neither flight or fight. It teaches us that evil can be opposed without being mirrored. Oppressors can be resisted without being emulated. Enemies can be neutralized without being destroyed. In recent times, we've caught a glimpse of this prophetic imagination in people like Rosa Parks and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In 1955, Martin Luther King led a peaceful boycott to protest segregation on buses. He paid a high price. His home was bombed. He was assaulted. He was arrested. But he never retaliated or called for retaliation in his movement. Eventually, he paid the highest price and was murdered. In the presentation speech for Martin Luther King's 1964 Peace Prize, the Nobel chairman quoted Jesus's "Turn the Other Cheek" passage. And he went on to say that it was not because he led a racial minority in their struggle for equality that Martin Luther King achieved fame. His name will endure for the way in which he waged his struggle. God has given each of us special gifts, and the third way will look different in all of our lives. For me, as a police officer, I had to reimagine what injustice meant to me and how I was going to fight it. I ended up starting a group to assist the emotional and spiritual health of police officers, and also started a local jail visitation ministry here at this church. But that's not going to be the same for all of you. Maybe you love gardening, and you'll reimagine your gift to teach people in urban areas how to grow their own food, to fight food scarcity. Maybe you're a teacher, and you will reimagine your gift to help tutor underprivileged kids and help them fight the perils of a poor education. Maybe you're an HR manager, and you'll start a program that helps unemployed people find and apply for jobs as a way to fight against poverty. My hope and prayer tonight is that the Holy Spirit will stir up a little holy mischief, a little spiritual imagination in each of us, and show us how this peculiar third way of Jesus will set his people apart from the rest of the world. Amen.
Jesus came and lived among us and taught us a new way to live, a way of love, a way of hope. He did that through his whole life, including that last night when he gathered with his disciples around the table, and he took bread, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, after the supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you, that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, that they might be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes again and we feast at his heavenly banquet. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Here in our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and ask slightly dip it in the cup and then receive both elements at the same time. We have a gluten-free option available if you prefer that. I'll invite Ryan Ford to help me serve, and then you all are welcome to come as you're ready.